begins his ministry by calling a number of young people to follow him. During their journey over the next several years, they become trained, empowered, and capable disciples who planted the church following Jesus' death and resurrection. The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 4.
Glory to you, O Lord.
As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. And he called to them. Immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. This is the gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. So being that this is Youth Sunday at our second service, I wanted to do some focusing on young people and youth in the Bible and in today as well. So some of the things that I think ring true with this story when Jesus calls his disciples according to the Gospel of Matthew, there's this immediacy that like they left their nets right now and they drop what they were doing and they go follow Jesus. And I always thought that was really kind of strange. That like what in this world would make us drop everything we're doing, leave where we've lived, leave our people behind and go follow this rabbi or whatever. And I thought, there doesn't seem to be anything culturally that makes sense to us. Like, we don't have that. So some of the things that line up so that this story makes sense in Jesus' time is to have a little understanding of the Jewish educational system. So when a kid is born, for about the first 6 or 7 years, there's not any formal education. The infant mortality rate is so high that to spend a lot of time pouring energy into someone that young is just not worth it. But from 7 to 10, during Jesus' lifetime, little kids would go to something called Bet Sofar. That was elementary school, Bet Sofar. And 7 days a week, they would spend memorizing the Torah. And it was 7 days a week because memorizing scripture was not seen as work. So memorizing scripture and doing schoolwork, what we would call schoolwork, on the Sabbath was permissive. In fact, memorizing scripture was seen as the very highest level of worship. So the Torah is Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. 360 pages in my Bible. Memorized, verse by verse. So when you were 10, if you were still there, there would be a quiz. The local synagogue Torah teachers would quiz you, and then you would move on to something called Bet Talmud, and that was from about 10 to 16. And if you weren't good enough, and if the teachers didn't think you had it, then you were excused to go back with your family and do whatever job they would have you do. But from 10 to 16 was Bet Talmud. And during Bet Talmud, you would spend 7 days a week memorizing the Hebrew scriptures. All of the Hebrew scriptures. So in my Bible, in this one, that is just shy of 1,600 pages. Verse by verse, story by story, memorizing what comes before this verse and what comes after and what does it mean. So obviously, most of the kids, if you hadn't fallen out of school at this point, most of them would fall out. 16 or so towards the end of Bet Talmud would be the time that the rabbis would either come by or the students would go find a rabbi and say, "I want to follow you. I want to be your disciple." And then the rabbi would begin grilling them. "Paul, what is this verse? Lorraine, what comes before this? Betty, what is the meaning of this phrase?" Would go on and on and on, because what the rabbi is considering is can this kid do what I do? I'm going to pour years of my life into this kid. I'm going to support them financially. I'm going to support them physically. I'm going to give them their entire sort of professional career. So I'm not wasting my time on anybody. I'm only taking the best of the best, is what the rabbis would look for. And it was usually the young people that would go to the rabbis and stand in line and say, Paul, I want to be your disciple. Betty, I want to follow you. Lorraine, will you show me your way? And each rabbi would have a slightly different take on what does this mean and what does that phrase mean. And that was called the yoke of that rabbi. So what the student was saying was, I want to take on your yoke and I want to follow you and do what you do, how you do it. But that's not how Jesus functions. Jesus is a rabbi that is clearly cut from a different piece of cloth. Because Jesus doesn't, we don't hear the disciples of the early church going to Jesus saying, Jesus, I want to be your rabbi. Jesus comes after them. And Jesus doesn't go to the synagogue and to the temple school, which is where you would find the brightest students. Jesus goes to the shoreline. And Jesus talks to a bunch of people that are fishermen. So we know that these people have flunked out. They are not the brightest bulbs in the box. They're not the sharpest knives in the drawer. Jesus goes and finds the disciples that end up planting the church that you and I are still connected to. So I think this, for me, this has always been something that really jumped off the page, because as a young person, you think back to 16 or 17, what would it make you to say, I'm leaving it all behind. I'm going with this guy because that's the best option I will ever hear. So I'll leave behind my friends. I'll leave behind my family. I'll leave behind, you know, whatever sweetheart happens to be around. I'm going to walk away from all of it to go do this thing with this teacher. And I think, like, I wasn't the best student in high school. I just sort of barely got into Ball State University. But what would it mean if a Harvard professor came to me and said, Dave, I'm taking you. We're bypassing the entire admissions process, and I'm taking you, and I'm going to plug you in, and I will personally walk you through every class, and I will personally sit down with you and your books, and we'll do this together. I think that's as close as I can get in my brain to, like, wrapping my head around this story of the disciples saying, sorry, Dad, I'm out. A little later, we hear Zebedee comes back into the story and he cheers on his sons. So we know that Zebedee is a fan of this plan. But you think about how much it must impact the family business and how much it must impact their lives and what being a disciple really means. So for us and for our young people and for all of us, I think it's a good thing to wonder, what does it mean to follow Jesus? What does it mean to be a disciple today? And how do we do the things of Jesus and live the life that Jesus would have us live today in our culture and in our time and in our place? God bless us in our work. Amen.